Chapter 28, October 2057. Noel Brand opened the door of the flat in Manners to his daughter.
You're late. Mel and Jane are here already.
Tash, standing on the doorstep, felt faintly bewildered. She watched her government-issue smart car drive away, to find its way back across the river to Gateshead and ultimately Government House. The rain was falling gently. There was a faint smell of ash in the air. It was cold for an October lunchtime, but then it was always cold. To get everything done this morning, to get away from house at all in time to be here for the lodestone announcement, she had had to follow an intricate timetable, improvising with the usual fudges and pushbacks when things didn't go to plan, all of which had crowded her head until she had got here, at this moment. But now she heard the boom of the wall TV in the background. Somehow that mundane noise was the trigger that dragged her back to reality, as if some invisible piece of elastic had suddenly wrenched her soul here, long after the car that had delivered her body. She was here, and all that planning and tracking and anxiety could just melt away. I'm sorry, Dad. I've been kind of busy. Ever since we got back from the moon.
I know.
His tone softened a little. I'm sorry. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Arriving in little bits, maybe? Come here. Noel stepped out, wrapped her in a reasonable simulacrum of the big bear hugs she had so relished as a little girl. You're here now, with us. Sorry to be a grouse. Come here now to the damn rain.
You work too hard, but you can always leave the burden of government at this door.
He let her go, and she followed him inside, hanging her coat in the small porch, but not before guiltily fishing her phone out of her coat pocket. In the living room, Mel and Jane were already here, and the big wall TV screen was bright. It played sombre music and was dominated by the Jones Inc. logo, the famous swoosh and spaceship. Tash vaguely wondered how many channels were carrying this feed, relayed from the lodestone, the space station tucked deep in the shadow of the Earth. Anyhow, she hadn't missed any of Serena Jones's latest pioneer announcement. Then, the reason they all gathered here. Good. To her shame, that was the first reaction, to clock her timing, rather than to react to the people in the room. Her father and Jane had evidently been sitting together on a sprawl of cushions before the big TV, while Mel was in an armchair, cradling phone and coffee cup in her hands. Now both Mel and Jane got up and came over to Tash for a hug.
Last to turn up as always, Auntie Tash, Jane said.
Mel gave her long red hair a playful ruffle.
Hey, don't be so rude,
Jane snorted.
And it's word for word what you said when Tash rang the bell, so don't get all hypocritical on me, Mum.
Noel hung back.
Good vocabulary, Jane. Hypocritical, if a bit harsh. Would you like a drink of something, Natasha? Coffee? Tea? I've got some non-alco brandy to toast. Well, whatever it is Jones is going to be announcing today. And I admit I'm a little vague about that.
You could get some proper brandy in for my birthday in December, Jane said.
Mel pursed her lips.
Yes, we know about your birthday, thank you.
Some tea would be fine, Dad, Tash said.
Tea it is.
Noel bustled off to the kitchen. Jane fell back on her cushions. She was tall for her age, now nearly 12.
Lithe, a promising high jumper, Mel had once said, with that shock of red hair to rival Mel's own.
You can come sit with us and watch the big screen, Auntie Tash, which is what all my friends will be doing, or you can sit with Mum in a chair and watch it all by yourself on your phone, the old-fashioned way. I don't mind, really.
I heard you, young person, Noel called from the kitchen. The old-fashioned way.
Phones, the old-fashioned way now.
Ha! My old dad would have liked to hear that. Addicted to his phone, he was.
Tash said, I'll compromise. Maybe I've been around politicians too long.
She made her way to the floor cushions. I'll sit with you and the TV and watch my phone, if that's okay. I might get a call. In came Noel with a couple of mugs of tea. He stiffly bent over to hand one to Tash,
kept the other for himself, sat on an upright chair.
You mean you will get a call?
Mel glanced over. Do I understand correctly what this is? More details of the Pioneer Project, right?
Some of them, Tash said. Whatever Serena Jones thinks will sell a few more bits of space kit, probably.
So, all of your colleagues in Government House will be watching this, will they? Fred Bowles, that bodyguard of his?
Tash had to smile. Grace, she's a political advisor, officially. A political advisor who used to be in the Marines. Have to say I've always felt there's something more to her than that.
She always seems to know more.
When we were on the moon, just a feeling.
That puzzled Tash.
Fred does cling to her a bit, I suppose.
Maybe Tash herself was too close to see it. Anyhow, I do know they roped in poor Charlie to advise today.
As ever, Mel said.
You should hear her complain about the work time she's losing.
Yes, but Charlie is still one of the few authentic scientist types Fred and his team will listen to. Or can listen to.
She's just too good at what she does.
Noel leaned over and ruffled Tasha's hair, much as Mel had ruffled Jane's.
You're never off duty, are you?
Very proud of you.
Serena Jones, though. I read they are calling this new space shot a Sputnik, aren't they?
You know, my dad, who I mentioned before.
Mel nodded. Very calculating of Serena Jones, if you ask me. Using names like Pioneer and Sputnik. Plundering space history for dog whistles.
Oh, I don't know, Tash said. I think we're all still reeling from the blink. It doesn't hurt to be reminded of achievements from the past. And I think she means it as a sincere tribute.
Speaking of your grandfather,
Noel said, a little more forcefully.
Tash suppressed a smile. Yes, Dad.
He was actually born on Sputnik Day, you know. 4th of October, 1957, so...
Oh, said Jane. So he's 100, just.
Would have been. Jane died.
Oh, 30 years ago.
Tash never really knew him. But yes, he was born with the space age.
Of course he didn't remember Sputnik 1 itself.
He would say he was told later that the family had gathered around the wireless, the radio, listening to the relay of the beep-beep signal coming down from Sputnik, that one satellite in orbit passing overhead. With him a babe in arms, newborn.
No TV for them back then. They couldn't afford it.
But he remembered the family watching the big space shots together later, gathered around the telly, black and white, until, I don't know, Apollo 8, maybe? He once showed me a diary he kept during that week when Apollo 13 was in trouble. He was only 12, I think. Your age, Jane. So you be as modern as you like. Just think of him, listening and watching with the family, all those years ago.
Tash raised her tea mug.
To Grandad, then. Happy Sputnik birthday. They all raised their cups. And the TV music stopped mid-bar. They all stared at the big screen, where the spaceship and swoosh dissolved to reveal the face of Serena Jones. She wore a practical blue jumpsuit with that corporate logo on her sleeve. She was floating, drifting in the air, her loose grey hair a starburst around her head, against the background of a typical space habitat. Serena gazed into the camera, not yet speaking. Jane pulled a face.
Why isn't she talking?
Tash smiled. Because she doesn't have to. Not for a few seconds. She's got much of the world's collective attention just now. We're watching her, aren't we? And she isn't going to refrain from milking it.
Wherever you are on planet Earth, or off it, Serena said at last.
Good day to you, and thank you for your attention. What I wish to share with you is a significant milestone in the development of Project Pioneer. As we announced it back in May, our response to the blink and the evident presence in all our lives of the entity known as Galaxius, in all our futures. A response by a coalition of nations, a partnership led by the American unions. A partnership including the English, Tash knew, and the Russians,
and the Japanese and the Brazilians, almost everybody not directly bound into the parallel and still more mysterious effort being mounted by the Chinese. On the technical level too, while we at Jones Inc. have led the overall development itself, we have enjoyed significant support from partners such as the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, the French Institute of...
Boring, said Jane.
As many of you will know, we chose to call our conceptual spacecraft, the final product, a vessel that will be capable of traversing distances beyond the scale of the solar system itself, after Pioneer 10, the first human artifact to escape the solar system altogether. A fragile little ship that nevertheless seems to have caught the eye of an entity on the scale of a galaxy. And in not many minutes from now, we will complete a first step to building that ship. As you can see, I'm expecting the imminent conclusion of a proving mission we actually launched fully 3 weeks ago. A test flight of our new propulsion technology, as it were. It's not fast, as you will see. It's not big, not compared to what will follow. But it is the first of its kind. So we decided to name our first test shot after a still earlier triumph in space, almost exactly 100 years back, an achievement which delivered, if anything, an even more shattering conceptual breakthrough for all humanity. Sputnik 1, the very first satellite to reach orbit, launched by engineering geniuses within the old Soviet Union. Noel grinned. Told you so. Well, there were 3 Sputniks in all. After that, the Soviets began new programs of satellites under new names. And so, a century later, I give you Sputnik 4. Jones's image dissolved to reveal what looked like, to Tash, at first glance, just a sail. A circular disc of some fine fabric hanging in a starry sky, with narrow lanyards attaching it to a small spherical pod. Very fine fabric. Tash could see the stars shining through it. And a very small pod, in comparison with the sail's diameter, just a pixel. There was evidently no sunlight. The craft seemed to be illuminated by hovering lanterns. Jane snorted. Is that it? Hush, Mel whispered. She glanced at Tash. Remember the mock-ups we saw at NASA Ames? Well, here's a working prototype, it looks like. Impressive. Feel free to explore the data as you like, Jones was saying. You can download a fully interactive model, though there isn't much in the way of detailed engineering to inspect, as you may have guessed. The central pod is a standard piece of Jones Inc. kit, a bus for a lightweight automated satellite or probe. Masses only a few kilograms, out of a total of 60 or so for the complete craft. On top of the main bus are spools for the scoop lanyards, and we have mini-bots capable of climbing out along the lanyards to achieve simple repairs. The craft has standard instrumentation, such as accelerometers, attitude sensors, position control sensors, everything you'd expect on a test flight such as this. No crew, of course, obviously. The final version, much larger, will hold 3 crew. And that scoop you see, even though it masses just 60 kilograms, is 10 kilometers across. Jane goggled. 10 kilometers? I've never even walked 10 kilometers in one go. Graphene, Mel said immediately. Got to be. Very fine, very light fabric. 1 carbon atom thick. I know. It looks like a sail. Now, we have already successfully used sails in space, sails that trap the pressure of sunlight. But the principle which drives Sputnik 4 is rather different. In fact, Sputnik 4 was launched in the long cone of Earth's sunlight shadow, cast behind the night side. A place where there is no sunlight at all. This was a deliberate choice. We wanted to be able to test the scoop without any interference. Although, in the final Pioneer mission profile, we may use sunlight to boost our launch. In the end, though, this ship is designed to work far, far from the sun, where even that intense blaze of light is diminished to a kind of brighter starlight. and the scoop works on a different principle altogether. By gathering. Dark energy. Jane paused the broadcast. She looked around. Anybody think we can skip this bit? She said it all in May, and we had to read up about it at school. Mel raised an eyebrow. So you know all about dark energy? I work for the Astronomer Royal, and she doesn't know what dark energy is. Not for sure. Tash just shrugged. Oh, why not? Jane is probably right. Thank the Lord for catch-up. Let's leave it on pause. Dad, I imagine you have some food ready to serve. Of course I do. I baked you a cake. Of course you did. Sit tight. With a rich fruit cake and more tea distributed, Jane somewhat grumpily resumed the recording. She fast-forwarded until she detected, somehow, that Jones had started talking less about how the Pioneer would be driven, and more about where it was going to be driven to. So, in summary, the essence of the drive is a minor miracle. Using its scoop, it gathers up energy from that sparse field and converts that to a usable form, specifically kinetic energy, the energy of motion. And that is how the dark energy drive works. Or at least, that's all our patent lawyers will allow me to say about it at this time. And here comes that ship, live in your homes, our pride and joy. Now the screen split to show a double image of Jones and a starfield deep black. Noel groaned, "What a ham!" Tash hushed him reflexively. Sputnik 4 was launched in darkness, in the shadow of Earth. For 3 weeks, Sputnik 4 has been sailing, fueled only by dark energy, away from the sun, away from the Earth. We track its position quite precisely, and it should be exiting the shadow cone soon. From here, we should see that clearly. Jones made a show of consulting a heavy wristwatch. Any second, now. That's a Rolex, Noel said, leaning forward to see. Like the first lunar astronauts wore. I remember that. She gets every detail right, doesn't she? Against the starfield, a broad disc abruptly flared into light. Tash was amused to hear applause in Serena's own background. Noel grinned. Okay, I give in. What a show. Mel smiled, but more tightly. More like, what a sales pitch. Serena was still talking. But what is more significant is where we intend the dark energy drive to take us. Once our Sputnik mission is done, once Pioneer has finished its trials. Well, you know the pitch by now. We intend to emulate Pioneer 10. Simple as that. We will push our ship beyond solar escape velocity. But this time a ship crewed by humans. Humans on their way to the stars. In defiance of the prohibition Galaxias seems to have handed down in response to Pioneer 10. The very first such mission to carry a crew. Oh, shit, Mel said. Jane nudged her. Mom? I won't take up much more of your time today. At the November FIS conference on post-blink strategies, I, sponsored by the American governments, will make a pitch for international support to build and request assistance with resources for the full-scale Pioneer 14 to be constructed on these demonstrated principles. I am aware that other proposals will be made, other candidate responses to the Galaxias crisis. Well, we are still a rich world and need not compete. In fact, our response to Galaxias ought to be multiple, diverse, experimental, if you like. For that is our nature, argumentative, helpful, supportive, seeking the answers together. In contrast to the dismal isolation of Galaxias, we will reveal more of our final design in November, and we trust that others will emulate our openness. Mel grunted, a dig at the Chinese. So, that's it from me. Thank you for your patience. For now, I will close with one more detail, no less significant. As I told you, this human ship will be under the control of a human crew. And now, we can meet them all. Into view came three astronauts in blue jumpsuits, with Swoop and Spaceship logos on their breasts, posing awkwardly in some cramped cabin, weightless. Serena said, "You'll recognize them, two survivors of the Al-Mirik mission to Mars. Marina Petko, Ito Katsuo, victims on Blink Day and now heroes facing the dark. And as you know, one of my staff here on the Lodestone, a man who lost his own fiancée to the Blink. Wu Shi." "Oh, shit," said Mel again. "Mom!" Jane said gleefully. Tash eyed Mel bleakly. "So she is going. I had hoped that she'd quietly drop him. I mean, because of the attitude we've seen. He's broken, is what he is, and shouldn't be going anywhere for a long time. And I wonder how his mother is feeling right now." "I'll break out that non-alco brandy," Noel said. "Or something stronger, Dad," Tash said,